some of it from my old colleagues. I'm gonna probably start. So firstly, thank you for taking the time and attending the session. I hope you find it a useful session and it gives you some insight. So I should maybe start by introducing myself and then also our CTO, Mr. Armand Ferreira. So I'm Emil Berger. I'm the Chief Operating Officer for a company by the name of Bankserve. Anyone here knows what Bankserve is? Lots of yeses, and some no responses. So I'll do a very short version of Bankserve. So Bankserve is a interbank settlements and clearance house. And always when I use those words, my children stare back at me and look at me and say, "Dad, you really have a job or you just made up some gum?" So I actually really have a job. So we do all the transactions that flows from one bank to another. So, I mean, all of us do EFTs on a daily basis or on a continuous basis. We make sure that if that EFT moves from bank A to bank B, that the money safely arrives. And I hope never of you have ever worried about that, because in the 42 years that we've been in existence, we've not gone down in terms of doing EFT transactions. And then also credit card transactions. When you stick your card into a credit card device, we make sure, and it's mostly not the same bank's device that you stick your card into. So it means that it runs through our interoperable switch and the money moves from one bank account to another. And the little case study that I'm going to talk to you about today is exactly in that space. And you can appreciate that when you have a consumer standing in front of a toll point, especially when it's month end, you want that transaction to work and you want that transaction to be fast. Right? You don't want to have a hassle of this thing not working or see that sign that sometimes gets put up to say it's not working. I can promise you one thing, when that sign goes up, it wasn't me. A promise on my grandmother's grave, who I loved and adored, it wasn't me, because we haven't gone down in 5 years in that environment.
Just to make sure, can you give them all your phone number?
Absolutely. My phone number is 0860 data centers. So when Haman and myself arrived at Bankserve now about, what's it now, 16 months ago?
Yeah, 15.
About 15 months ago, we found that there's the same thing that happens in most organizations that have these sort of track record of never be down. The assets were sweated, but they looked like a marathon runner after the comrades who didn't really properly practice, right? It was sweating, it was dripping, and it wasn't performing up to spec anymore. And in the card processing space, we use fault tolerance x86 technology called HP non-stops. And what we found in the HP non-stops is it's not just the equipment that was old. So I always jokingly tell people it was like a diesel truck, but it was like one of the old Bedford diesel trucks. It wasn't pretty and it wasn't fast anymore. So we bought new HP non-stops. And the trick wasn't in buying the new equipment. I mean, the new equipment natively processed faster, right? We had two issues when it came to buying the new non-stops. The first one, and fortunately I'm speaking to technologists, when I speak to business people, they look at me all funny. Strange thing, the application didn't just jump from the old equipment onto the new one and started working. Some app didn't mythically arrive and stick a disk in there and it started to process. It took some recoding of the application and some re-engineering of the networks and putting in new gateways and putting in new operating systems. It was creating a whole new ecosystem. And then the second thing that we figured out is there's a very aging community when it comes to non-stops. I had the youngest HP non-stop manager in the industry. Great guy, 63 years old. And he was the youngest.
Sure.
Right? And that's when I reached out to Datacentrix. And I said, "Boys, we've got a problem here. I'm not the only company that uses this technology. Bankserve, in essence, is owned by the banks. And I know that my shareholders, my owners, have the same problem. Right? And they all have equipment that they have to replace. And two out of the four big have had to replace within the year that followed." That was the first one. And the second one was there's customers outside of a banking fraternity that also uses this technology. And because I'm not representing any of them, I can talk about them and my others. I have to say two banks, all bluish, turquoise, greenish, or reddish colors, right? So one of the real big banks, right? So Mercedes-Benz, for example, runs on that technology, and some of the retailers also, and they all have exactly the same problem. So I'll tell you what, BankServ in essence is a mutual, right? It works for all the banks. Any guesses how many banks there are in this country? Would it surprise you if I told you there's 23 banks in this country? And all 23 of them are dependent on our systems working. Also dependent on all other 22 counterparty systems working, right? Or if one is down, dependent on me to be able to buffer that transaction. So it's kind of a complex environment, and I'm good at herding cats, right? I can get 23 people to talk to each other. It's quite a unique thing. So why don't we just all talk to each other and we all say we have the same problem? That's good. So we're all alcoholics, we all drink. Right? Like, we all attend the AA meeting. Question is, now what? Right? So I'm a big fan of firsts. Right? The first, everyone remember the first oak that went to the moon?
Yes.
Yeah, Neil Armstrong. Right? Who was the second guy? No one freaking cares, right? So we did a world first in South Africa when it came to HB non-stops. No one is ever going to care about who follows us. Genuinely don't care about him. He's going to be number two. He's going to be... right? We Neil Armstrong. So the first time at HB, and I've got to give credit here, guys. HB had to step out on a limb to do this. And so did DataCentrix. So I had to step out on a limb to do this, right? So we asked DataCentrix to create capability around the management of HB non-stops outside of a HB organization and outside of my firm, but on a basis that I feel comfortable, I have access to the support immediately, because you're not going to wait in front of your little retailer when you buy your wife a little anniversary gift or buy your monthly groceries or whatever. You're not going to wait for me to phone DataCentrix and they're going to pitch in 4 hours, right? It's not going to work. So you've got to build skill that's readily and immediately available, and you've got to build it outside of a HB organization, which is also sort of got to train on the skill set supporting the technology. And the reason why you use that, just to go back, it's fault-tolerant technology. I mean, you can go on YouTube, there's a wonderful little video of Oak taking a grinder, angle grinder, cuts through the middle of this thing, and it continues to process. A bit slower, because it's lost half its processes, right? But it still processes, doesn't lose it. Any alternative you really have is the Stratus box. We can have a deep technical conversation as to why the HP is on the x86 chassis with processing works better and faster. So we got DataCentrix in, and they were able to work with us, and now I can proudly say one other big bank has bought their non-stops through DataCentrix, and the second big bank, that I have a lot of affinity for, love the bits and pieces, and I'll always be a loyal customer and shareholder, despite not working there anymore, right? It's also probably going to end up doing the same. And then you've got critical scale, right? You've got, can build skill against the industry again. And I think if I've got to do a testament for a supplier, I reluctantly do it, because I've worked for other suppliers in my career, right? But I've got to step out on a limb here and say kudos. And respect to DataCentrix for having taken the willingness to do a first in the world, constructively battle with the HP global organization around getting this model in place. Getting support from people like Jonas is standing there back in the room quietly as if he had nothing to do with this. But he was the country manager of EMC, and we had to get their support as well. And he stepped up, and thank you for that, Jonas. Really appreciate that support. And we as an industry were able to change the dynamics. And I'm very proud of the fact that I can say that in that world, we are number one. And then that's pretty much my testament to DataCentrix, and that is where my technical knowledge stops. Kind of. And I mean, Haman is here, he's my CTO. He knows the technology a hell of a lot better than I do. He's the guy that I shout at if it goes down. Even if I'm standing in Pick and Pay and I know it's not his fault, I would still shout at him just in case it maybe was, right? It fortunately hasn't. So I'm going to hand over to Haman, and I'm going to, at the same time, if there's any questions, do you guys have any questions? Otherwise, I'm anything that stands between you and a lack of lunch. Any questions, guys? If it's technical, Haman is going to answer it. If it's business, I'll make an effort. And Jonah.
Yeah, win.
So I don't know if there's any questions, guys, but does that story resonate with you?
Yeah.
Does it make sense? You've got a question. Thank God. Yes.
Well, yeah, I'm quite new to banks, sir. But you guys recently might have had a change in your numerical to alphanumerical coding system. How true is that, and what were the changes about?
Not that I'm aware of. So the interfaces into the card production environment is still at this point in time a binary string of 184 characters. It's called a big ISO standard when it comes to card interfaces. Having said that, the Reserve Bank wants to adopt global standards. It wants to move to ISO 20022. Fancy word, right? ISO standards. Jeez, I want to go work there at some point. You just said your standard and everyone just goes, it's ISO, part. It's got to be good, right? I want to go work there, so for many reasons, right? But ISO 20022 in simple terms is XML, it's multi-layered. Right? So it will have alphanumerical characters associated with it, and it will change the complexity of the interface. But we don't do it for South African processing yet, we do it for SADC processing today. So the only change that's happened is in the SADC world, where the SADC community have adopted ISO 20022 and ISO 20022 light when it comes to mobile. But for South African interfaces, it's still 184 characters, binary orientated to card processing, and for EFT, it's a fixed string process. But it will change, it will become ISO 20022, and the Reserve Bank is, how does the Reserve Bank ask?
They go,
you will do it by this freaking date. Are you okay with that? So I also like my ex-wife asks, right? It's like instruction with a question that you don't have an answer to at the end. So it will come, but at this point in time, it's still what it was. Okay, then I'm not standing in your way of lunch. If there's no more questions, right? I'm glad the story resonated with you. I'm very proud of what we've achieved. I'm very thankful for people like DataCentrix. I mean, I've got Pete and Tony in the room, but there are many other people in the organization that made a great contribution. Jonas, for your support on the EMC side. For Haman, that's done the hard work. I was the guy standing in front of a board and talking to people whilst Haman was making it happen. Great, thank you. Awesome.